Welcome to Anaphylaxis Canada's Back to School podcast. My name is Beatrice Pavolo, and I'm the Director of Programs and Services with Anaphylaxis Canada. I'm joined today by my colleague Kyle Dine, our Youth Program Coordinator. Together, we'll be presenting today's topic on how to manage allergies safely as we prepare for the new school year. In preparation for today's podcast, we polled our members and asked them what they wanted to know and what topics interested them the most. Thank you to all of you who responded to our survey. We really appreciated hearing what you had to say. Although we can't respond to each question which was submitted individually, we have tried to incorporate answers to all these questions in the key topics we'll be discussing here today. As parents, students, and educators prepare to go back to school this fall, it's an opportune time to review some key elements for helping keep allergic children safe for the school year and understanding the role each group plays in this process. To set the stage for today's presentation, we will review a few key concepts that Anaphylaxis Canada uses when educating the community on anaphylaxis management for schools. The first is to strive for an allergy-safe school as opposed to an allergy-free school. As we all know, there are no guarantees, and setting reasonable and practical expectations are very important when working within the school community. Being allergy safe refers to an ongoing process which requires that sufficient measures are in place to safeguard students at risk for anaphylaxis and does not imply an absolute guarantee. The second key concept is to approach anaphylaxis management as a shared responsibility within the school environment. Each of us, including parents, students, educators, and parents of non-allergic children, all have a role to play and as such should be involved when developing or implementing policies or processes that impact the school as a whole. The third key concept is simple, that is, to work together. Only when all stakeholders work together on key issues will schools develop and maintain reasonable and effective policies that have input from all groups. After all, we're all working towards the same common goal, and that's to keep all our kids safe. With these concepts in mind, this podcast today will focus on the roles of each key stakeholders in the process, namely the school, the parent, and the students. In reviewing the role of each stakeholder, we will also focus on how these groups can work together to create effective risk management strategies, develop tips for working within your school community, how to help educate others, and how to teach students to self-protect. Please note that in Canada, requirements for schools regarding anaphylaxis management can vary from province to province and even school board to school board. What we've put together here today is an overview of the best practices that can be used as a guide when working within your school community. So let's begin at the school level. As a new school year begins, all schools should focus on the following. First off, schools should have a written school anaphylaxis management policy in place, which defines the roles and responsibilities for staff, students, parents, and the greater school community. This policy should be reviewed with the staff at the start of the school year and communicated to the parent community. This can be done through school newsletters, websites, parent council meetings, or other means as directed by the principal. The school should also provide annual staff training on anaphylaxis, including hands-on practice with the use of auto-injectors, such as the EpiPen and Twinject. Whenever possible, the school should include additional staff members that interact with students on a regular basis, such as school nurses, bus drivers, cafeteria staff, and parent volunteers, when providing this training. This training should be conducted at the start of the new year and, when possible, reviewed again throughout the school year. The school should also be collecting up-to-date medical information from students at the beginning of each school year and request that epinephrine auto-injectors be provided for each student at risk. Whenever possible, it is suggested that two devices be provided in case one is needed as a backup. The school should also request that each student and parent complete an anaphylaxis emergency plan and share this information with all staff so they are aware of those kids at risk within the school. This plan can be posted, with permission, in the classroom, in the teacher's day planner, the office, the staff room, and the cafeteria. A downloadable copy of an action plan, as well as sample letters and other resources, can be found at www.allergysafecommunities.ca. Schools should also develop practical avoidance strategies. The strategies each school develops will depend on a few things, including the size of the school, the number of kids at risk, the ages of the students, the availability of adult supervision, and eating locations within the school, such as cafeterias, lunchrooms, and class settings. Some of the common strategies some schools are using to manage food allergies include the following. Implementing a food policy requesting that the school community avoid sending specific allergens to school, such as peanuts. Designating safe eating zones or classrooms for those with food allergies. Assigning adult supervisors during lunch hours. minimizing allergens in common areas of the school, such as the gym or library, by not allowing food to be brought into these locations, posting allergy alert signs outside a classroom where a particular allergy is present, creating a buddy system for younger students with older students to help teach them how to manage in a school setting, and educating the students on allergies during health class or a school-wide assembly. There are a number of resources available to schools, including books and DVDs. You can check out our website for a complete listing. For other allergies, such as insect allergies, schools can be proactive by removing nests from school grounds and keeping trash cans covered and away from the doors. For latex allergies, work with the school to identify areas of potential latex exposure and proceed in finding latex-free substitutes accordingly. At times, schools will also find themselves dealing with parents or students that are not willing to comply with the school policies. For example, a parent may not provide up-to-date medical information or an auto-injector for their child. In cases such as this, the school should set up a meeting with the parent and the student to resolve the issues and document an action plan for the student at risk. This should be done in September to ensure these issues are addressed early on and do not continue into the school year. Together with these strategies, perhaps one of the most important things schools can do is to help raise awareness of the importance of managing allergies with the staff, the students, and the community. This can be done through open and effective communication with key messaging in the school newsletter, at parent council meetings, in letters sent home, in parent-teacher interviews, and also on the school website. Now let's take a look at the role of parents and how they can work with the community in managing anaphylaxis in schools. Their ongoing involvement and working with the community is key to helping keep their children safe. So what should parents do? Well, first off, it's important to know what policies are in place at your school and how they are implemented. If you're not familiar with your school's policy, ask for a copy or check their website for information. If your school does not have a policy, you can approach your local school board or provincial ministry of education to determine what requirements are in place for your area. Once parents are familiar with the policy, here are some key steps to consider in working with the school. First off, parents should provide the school with up-to-date medical information upon registration or at the start of each school year for their child. This should include an anaphylaxis emergency plan, which provides key information to the school regarding the child's name, a photo if required, a list of his or her allergies, location and dosage of auto-injectors, other medical conditions such as asthma, emergency protocol, and parent or guardian contact information. Parents should provide epinephrine auto-injectors for their child, and whenever possible, two devices should be provided so there's always a backup device if needed. When providing the auto-injectors to the school, parents should document the expiry date of the device and ensure replacement is provided prior to expiry, approximately 1 month before. Determine where the auto-injector will be stored and that the location is known and accessible to all staff. There are a number of options for carrying auto-injectors that you can discuss with your school. It is recommended by the Canadian Society of Allergy and Clinical Immunology that children who have demonstrated maturity, usually by the age of 6 or 7, should carry their own devices. Backup devices can be stored in unlocked and accessible areas in the classroom, the staff room, or the office. Parents should also set up time to meet with their child's teacher to review the student's emergency plan and the school's anaphylaxis policy. They should be prepared to ask any questions they may have, such as what risk avoidance strategies are in place, or is the staff trained to identify and manage a reaction. Ideally, this meeting should take place before school begins or early in the new school year. You may also want to review how to use your child's auto-injector with your teacher to ensure they are comfortable with the device and know how to use it in case of emergency. Parents should also become familiar with the school lunchtime procedures and special events. This involves determining things like, where are the eating locations in the school? Are they a classroom, a lunchroom, a gym, or a cafeteria? And what risk reduction measures are in place? Who is supervising the students at lunchtime? Is it a teacher, a parent volunteer, or older students? And what is a protocol in case of emergencies? How does the school manage special events such as birthday parties or holiday celebrations? Parents should be proactive whenever possible and ask for a schedule of special events in advance so they can be prepared and send safe treats in for their child so they can be included in all class and school events. Parents will also need to plan for off-site activities. For class trips, for example, parents can ask for a schedule of planned excursions so they are familiar with what their child will be participating in for the school year. They should also provide additional auto-injectors if required for the trip, depending on the location and duration of the trip. And whenever possible, parents should consider volunteering to attend with their child. For school bus transportation, parents should notify the bus driver of their child's allergies and inquire about the level of training provided to the bus driver. They should also offer to review how to use an auto-injector if needed. Parents can encourage a no-eating rule during bus travel and consider a buddy system for younger children while traveling. As a parent, you also want to teach your child to self-protect and be comfortable to manage his or her own allergies. As such, it's important that you review some key rules on a regular basis. These include no sharing of food or taking food from others, reading food labels and avoiding any foods with precautionary statements such as may contain, always carrying an epinephrine auto-injector, either an EpiPen or a Twinject. As a general rule, no auto-injector, no eating. Washing your hands before and after eating, wearing medical identifications such as a medical alert bracelet, and talking to others about your allergies and not to be afraid to tell someone if you're having a reaction. Regardless of how old your child is, you can never reiterate enough how important these rules are. But as they grow up, parents need to consider a new phase and begin looking at shifting responsibilities to their preteens and teens. As your child grows and matures, it's important to recognize that they need to begin to take on new responsibilities for managing their allergies. So as they begin to approach their teen years, it's important to involve them in the process when dealing with schools and developing their anaphylaxis emergency plan. Teach them how to talk to their teachers and friends about their allergies. Work with them on strategies when dealing with the cafeteria staff or off-site eating locations. They need to learn what questions to ask and how to determine what foods will be safe for them to eat when they are on their own. And you want to help them anticipate potential new risks when it comes to new situations, such as school dances, cooking classes, or part-time jobs. The more students are engaged in the process of managing their allergies, the better prepared they will be. As parents, there are a number of things you can do on an ongoing basis to work with the school community, and the beginning of the school year is an opportune time to start. Here are some additional tips to consider. Help raise awareness at your school through education. Be a source of credible allergy-related information and help remove some of the uncertainty or confusion regarding anaphylaxis issues. This will go a long way when determining what strategies will work best for your school. Get involved and stay involved at your child's school. There are a number of ways to do this, such as joining the parent council committee, volunteering to attend class trips, offering to work with the lunchtime or cafeteria staff regarding food preparation, or working on specific school events such as school fundraising initiatives or holiday celebrations. Finally, it's important for parents to realize that anaphylaxis management at school is a collaborative effort, and as such, it's important to work with the school community and have reasonable expectations of what the school can and cannot do. Keeping an open line of communication with the principal and staff and letting them know you're available to discuss any issues that may arise will go a long way in helping the school develop and maintain effective strategies. And remember, a little thanks goes a long way. Don't forget to say thank you and acknowledge the work your school is doing. The beginning of the school year is a perfect time to set the stage for the year ahead. At this point, I would like to turn the presentation over to Kyle, who will provide an overview of what students can do to help manage anaphylaxis in schools.
Thanks, Beatrice. As someone who has grown up with multiple food allergies, I understand how challenging it can be for students when trying to manage their allergies at school. But through open communication, effective policies, and good preparation, students can feel confident that they are well protected within their school environment. So what should we be reviewing when it comes to the role of students? Well, first off, it's important to understand that each child has a role to play in managing his or her own allergic condition. From the youngster beginning kindergarten to the teen entering high school, there are responsibilities associated with every stage of development, and it's important to recognize these roles and teach our kids what they can do to help keep themselves safe. By involving them in the process from a young age, it provides a key foundation on which to build as they grow up. So what can we do with our kids to help them self-protect? Beatrice touched on a few tips earlier, but I'd like to expand on these as they are some essential safety rules that should be reinforced as the new school year is beginning and repeated often. They include, don't hide your allergy. Let others know about it, including your friends, so they can be aware and help if ever needed. Also, to carry an auto-injector, either Twinject or EpiPen, at all times. For the little ones, under the age of 6 years, their auto-injector should be readily available in an unlocked location nearby, preferably with the teacher in the classroom. For older kids, 6 years and above, it's recommended that they carry their auto-injector with them at school. They can carry it in a fanny pack or belt around the waist. And as they approach their teen years, they can carry it in their pocket, backpack, or purse that they take with them throughout the school day. The auto-injector should never be left in the school locker or other locked locations. It must always be with the student at all times. For older students, it's also important that they tell peers and teachers where their device is and how to use it. Eat only food that has been provided from home or has been pre-approved by parents. Students should be taught not to share food, utensils, straws, or other food-related items. No exceptions. For those children who have a cafeteria at school, they should, together with their parents, consult with the food service staff to determine which foods are safe and ask about ingredients and cross-contamination issues. Always check food labels and never ignore precautionary statements like may contain. As children get older and begin to learn to read, it's an excellent time to get them to read food labels in preparation for the years ahead. This practice will serve them well as they learn to self-manage in their later years. Remind them of basic hand washing and hygiene before and after eating, and also wiping down their eating surface. Ensuring they have a clean place to eat, whether it's a table in the cafeteria or their desk, is always a good practice. Also, wear medical alert identification so they have a way of communicating their allergies in case of emergency. Medical Alert offers a program for children through a number of provincial school boards called No Child Without. Check with your school to see if they are part of this program. And lastly, speak up. Encourage children to discuss any issues or questions they may have about their allergies and how they are managing at school. This will help to keep the lines of communication open at home and at school. It's important to remember that, as students, they rely on the support and guidance of their parents and teachers. They have a role to play in managing their allergies, but they can't do it without the help of those around them. As we mentioned at the start of the podcast, we all have a role to play in safely managing allergies at school. And by working together in our school community, we can all help protect those at risk and create a supportive environment. Well, that brings us to the end of our presentation today. We hope that you've found the information we've provided helpful as you begin to plan for back to school. We would like to know what you think about today's podcast. We have set up a survey on our website to give you the opportunity to provide your feedback. Please log on to www.anaphylaxis.ca and click on the Anaphylaxis Learning Center. You'll find today's podcast listed along with our survey. While you're there, you can also check out our online webcasts on key topics such as Anaphylaxis 101, Ask the Allergist, and Managing Anaphylaxis in Elementary and Secondary Schools. We are also pleased to let you know about our new teen website, www.whyriskit.ca, which is an excellent resource for preteens, teens, and young adults. We hope you all have a safe and exciting new school year. On behalf of Anaphylaxis Canada, thank you for tuning in.